Fred, what are some of the symptoms of electronic harassment?
Well, there's a bunch of them, and there's also environmental symptoms, too. But just a few are sleep deprivation, fatigue, malaise, irritability, shortening of the attention span, daytime fatigue attacks I see on a lot of people, on older people, cataracts, blood changes, circulatory problems, permanent deterioration of the central nervous system. Another one is very common is blurred vision and loss of concentration, whole body jerks, shaking of the body, heat flashes, artificial fever, shortness of the breath, loss of control of the vocal cords, which is because of that radar flashlight studies, that kind of stuff. Unusual forgetfulness, things like that. Sudden sexual urges, suicidal and homicidal thoughts, panic attacks. And the biggest one that I see of all in the people I've done is some form of depression and extreme paranoia. I see that. And in sometimes in the environment around the targeted person, some people out there I know are going to relate to this, is a stoppage of power to appliances, manipulation of appliance settings, temporary failures that fix themselves, movements of objects off and off the shelf, under the floor, causing breakage, precision and manipulation of switches and controls, premature failure of appliances and computer failures and errors. That's just some of the stuff that goes on. I mean, it does affect the environment, especially if they're doing the millimeter wave stuff, you know, which is a common delivery system.
What is confusion weaponry, Fred?
Well, confusion weaponry is, it was basically brought about several years ago where we were using thoughts to, you know, frequencies that mess up the thinking system of the body. Okay, this was the original, how it really all started. Later on, it got... there were different devices developed that were neurostimulators from a distance. I remember in the very beginning, they were developing devices where they had a control, you know, an implant in your head, and then it was, you know, you would see the effect of it in your head. Later on, it became remote control, and now it's done in a difference, almost on a quantum level. And it's basically impulses that are sent to the body that cause that person to go into some confusion state. A good example of that was just recently, that lady that was on the news the other night, a little blonde girl. You might have seen this. It was about a week ago.
Oh, the one who had the not a stroke, but they think something happened to her.
Yeah.
She had some kind of severe migraine, they said.
Yeah, they and she never ever had a migraine before. That to me is probably they targeted her just to see what it would happen while she was on the air. Because there were no symptoms afterwards, there was no damage to her body, no neurological damage or any even symptoms. That's confusion weaponry, and that was a good example. I was really surprised to see them pull that out of their hat and immediately, you know, apply that so quickly, but it did. I mean,
that was one of the strangest videos I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the founder, the term confusion weaponry came originally from Dr. Ross Ade, who was a formerly of the Brain Research Center at the University of Southern California, and he worked at Loma Linda, and he worked on the Pandora Project, which is part of that stuff that was with the Soviets bombarding us, and it was his definition was specific behavior modifications of electromagnetic means, and the chemical part of it. Now there's chemistry involved here, and that causes I call it calcium efflux, okay? And this is usually from the microwave side of it. And when this calcium efflux happens, it throws out the blood pressure rates. And because remember, calcium ions are necessary to make the heart beat through the atriums of the heart. If you interfere with that, you start getting voids in the brain, lack of oxygen in the brain. And so the blood pressure starts to go up or down. And that causes a panic attack. So you can see how that goes into a panic attack. And if it goes into a panic attack, then that person's going to run down, you know, if it happens more than once, then they're going to run to Big Pharma for some drugs, some SSRI drugs or something, which brings the drug industry on board. But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that goes on. And this was going back, this goes back to the 60s, okay? And then in the 80s, Dr. Ade demonstrated how 147 megahertz field with a power level of just 0.8 milliwatts per square centimeter causes this calcium influx. And then what happens is they used 140 7 megahertz carrier, and they modulate it down to 6 to 20 hertz, which is ELF. And the heart likes to beat, I think the heart beats somewhere around 8.1 or 8.2 hertz. So, and it's very easy to overpower, you know, the human body only generates about 20 millivolts, the average person in the brain, sending it down through the central nervous system, which then has to be distributed through all the electrical factions of the body, which is everything. So it's not, it doesn't take much with a you know, a small millimeter beam to interfere with that delicate process of the human being. And because when you go to that millimeter wavelength stuff, which is considered between 30 and 300 gigahertz, that makes it pencil beam-like, laser-like technology that once a person is zeroed in on from all of these things we've been discussing about voice and speech patterns and you know, listening to them on the computer and the phone and all of that, it's no problem to zero in with two pencil beams on that person and do all kinds of disruptive things, including introduce a audio component between the two small millimeter wavelength beams, which has an audio component. People then hear themselves, somebody's talking in their head. And some of the people I've talked to say they, you know, one lady specific I remember, she said, I could hear the computer, was in the control room. I mean, I could hear people in the background talking, and these voices are in my head. And this was very unusual. And then this is the kind of stuff that we run across, and not just one case, a lot. You know, if it was just one, I'd shine it on.
Whatever happened to the weaponry of the audio weaponry, where they could turn it on and people would just go down to their knees? It would hurt them, their ears. So
that, that's very much alive right now. They use it on crowd control. That's considered the friendlier form of you know, crowd control.
I mean, I haven't seen it used in the Middle East, so they don't have it, right?
Well, they make it right down here in San Diego, so one of the companies does. Yeah, they will.
Well, I mean, we have it. I don't think.
Oh yeah,
we have it. Yeah,
I've seen it. It's on a big trailer. It has a big antenna, and it works on heat. What happens is it goes to like a tenth of an inch under the skin, and so it starts getting really hot. So this audio beam puts out this heat on the body, and they get so hot, they just burn up, and they just start freaking out. It's not so much the high volume. Yeah, there's a screeching to it, but there's a heat faction that they use on it.
Tell me about what they're doing with satellites, Fred.
Okay. Where do you want me to start? we started off with the Corona Project a long time ago. They were launched from Vandenberg, and that was spy stuff. And then later on, we came along with the MISTI series, which then became like the Keyhole satellites, the big launch. When NASA got involved was in 1991 with the STS-38.